الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي دروس شريف پڑھ لیں Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After a respite of a few weeks due to the blessed month of Ramadan, bifazlillah, we reconvene and continue with the seerah of the blessed souls. Khulafa'ir Rashideen. Alhamdulillah, we have completed the seerah of Siddiq Akbar, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, and we have just started the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. We are actually covering, just as a reminder, the first phase of the life of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. And inshallah, we want to cover that in many different chapters. But when I say the first phase of the life of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, I personally have divided it into different sections. The first phase would mean the period of time which Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an had spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we will cover that period first. His companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we'll go with the second chapter, which is with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, then Hazrat Umar, then Hazrat Uthman, and then the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, bifazlillah, just to quickly recap, we've covered the birth of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, we've covered the youthful period, that age of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he came under the wing of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have covered also the nikah of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, and the children of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, and especially some of the military expeditions in which Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an himself has been a hero for the Muslims in Islam, subhanallah. And so we've covered all that inshaAllah, and I believe that just before Ramadan we had completed the chapters of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So inshallah we will continue from the time after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah did not even last for 2 years. And remember, majority of the companions had taken the Treaty of Hudaybiyah to be in favor of the Quraysh of Makkah. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is actually fatham mubina, a clear victory for the Muslims. And this treaty did not even last for 2 years. There was a truce between the mushrikeen and the Muslims a ceasefire, basically, for approximately 10 years. But there was an open violation that came from one particular tribe which was an ally of the Quraysh. And the name of that tribe is Banu Bakr. Banu Bakr. The tribe of Banu Bakr was connected to the Qurayshi people. And these were people who ferociously attacked another tribe, which was the tribe of Banu Khuza'ah. Banu Khuza'ah. Now this tribe, although they were not Muslims, but were allies of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Muslims in Medina. And so the Banu Bakr tribe had no right to attack the Banu Khuza'ah, because they were the allies of the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara. Complete protection was given to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Qurayshi people, actually what they did is that they attacked the people of Banu Khuza'ah, killed all of the menfolks, so much so that some of the people actually entered the haram, the sanctuary, hoping that they'll be saved. Who will want to fight in front of the Kaaba? Even the kuffar would respect the Kaaba. But they paid no heed to that, and they also massacred and killed everyone that was there. Not only killed them, but they looted even the properties of the Banu Khuza'ah. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam found out about this atrocity committed by Banu Bakr, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was extremely angry. Immediately Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to take action, and he sent someone to the Quraysh and he said to them, I am giving you one option and only one option, and that is that you have to pay blood money for all the people that have been killed by the Banu Bakr. So you have to pay blood money, and blood money is quite a high price to pay. Otherwise we will take the Treaty of Hudaybiyah to be abrogated and annulled completely. The Quraysh were people of arrogance, and the Banu Bakr were even more arrogant than the Quraysh. And they sent a message to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we will not pay you a dirham. We will not pay you a dirham. And we, the Quraysh, are dissolving the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, that we've got nothing to do with this treaty now. Subhanallah. And so when this news reached the ears of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was disappointed. Cold-blooded murder that had taken place with the people, the menfolks of Banu Khuza'ah. But in a way, subhanallah, Allah granted them shahadat, and they were martyrs. Many of them of that tribe had also embraced Islam. It was not that these were people who were all non-Muslims, but from amongst the Banu Khuza'ah there were certain people who were also leaders, in fact who even participated in some of the jihad. So a lot of them were also Muslimin. So those who were the Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them shahadat. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to the companions that alhamdulillah, this is fatḥ-e mubīn. The violation that comes from the Banu Bakr and the treaty that has been dissolved now will actually pave the path of fatḥ-e Makkah, conquering the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now Abu Sufyan was a very intelligent man. He was the leader of the Quraysh at that time. Remember Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, all these guys have been killed already. And so it was this man, Abu Sufyan, who had the full control of the city of Makkah. Very intelligent. He knew that these were the foolish people who had sent the message to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and out of anger they said that we will not respect the treaty. What he did is that he himself alone, he went to Medina Munawwara to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Without any arms, bodyguards, all alone he went to Medina Munawwara, hoping and thinking that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is rahmatul lil alameen. Maybe he can broker something, and that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will renew the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And so he went to Medina Munawwara, and he met with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Of course, when they were not prepared to pay the blood money, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in no mood to talk with them and to agree to their terms. So what Abu Sufyan did is that he asked Umme Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan and the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we've covered that in Ramadan, that she should intercede on behalf of Abu Sufyan for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would listen to Umme Habiba. Again, one very important mas'ala, though Umme Habiba paid no attention to what Abu Sufyan had to say, and the fact that she knew that whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to decide, that would be the best decision. But then as men and the head of the family, at times a person would have to make critical decisions, an important decision. And so what we need to understand is that we should not be influenced in the wrong way by certain members of the family. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. That even if it means that it may go against your family, what we need to look at is haqq, the truth and justice. And so even if it means it is against you, or it is against some of your family members, that is fine, because you are actually pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the family members tell you something which is the truth and haqq, then mashallah, you must accept that. You must not say, huh, tu chup rahi, this is wrong, you don't tell me nothing. Now, subhanallah, you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a lot of intelligence to the different categories of people. Sometimes a person can even learn from a child. We fail to understand that, but sometimes even a young child can teach you something. So, alhamdulillah, the doors of knowledge are open. The doors of knowledge are open. And the real knowledge is actually what you receive from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is real knowledge. And so she did not influence Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in important matters, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course, was completely connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abu Sufyan noticed that Umme Habiba is paying no attention, then he went to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He said to Abu Bakr Siddiq that, after all, we are Quraysh. You are a senior man. I am a leader. There is this friendship. Abu Bakr Siddiq was, of course, during the Jahiliyyah period, Abu Sufyan was a rich man. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was a rich man. Hazrat Usman was a rich man. So all of the connections were there from before. So he says, for the sake of that friendship, Abu Bakr, come on, go and speak to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After all, what is wrong? A 10-year peace treaty, ceasefire, no problem, no fighting in the Arabian Peninsula. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala did not agree. Then he went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Surprisingly, he went to Hazrat Umar. It's a good thing Umar radiallahu ta'ala didn't take his sword out. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala also said no. And then he went to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and thinking that Ali is from the Ahl Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and none of the companions agreed to it, and they said that the final say and the decision comes from only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This man left the city of Medina disappointed, and subhanallah, when he got back to Makkatul Mukarramah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately was preparing a huge army, mobilizing a massive army, mashallah, to march from Medina Munawwara to Makkatul Mukarramah. And he said to the companions that this is the barakat of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that this is fatham mubina, that this is clear victory for the Muslimin. And what had happened, that because of the treaty being completely annulled, all of the Arab tribes, the Bedouins and all of the tribes that were living outside Medina Munawwara, all came and had become allies of the Muslimin, and in fact many of them had also become Muslims. And immediately 10,000 mujahideen were prepared to march with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Instantly, 10,000 people were ready. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, when you look at the akhlaq and the character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he left Madinatul Munawwara, it was his sunnah that he would never enter any locality unexpectedly. He would always give the people time and information that we are coming to your locality. Even if it meant that the people living there were the enemies of the Muslimin. It was never a surprise visit. Never. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped to a location which is called Zahran. A location which is called... Basically, Zahran is a desert. And not very far from the city of Makkatul Mukarrama. And so the Muslims had encamped in that part of the zone. And it was night time. When the fire was lit, 10,000 mujahideen were there. MashaAllah, it seemed as if there was fire in the entire desert of Zahran. That the desert was burning. Now a lot of the people who were living in Makkah Mukarramah, they could see a lot of fire being burnt in the zone of Zahran. And so a group of them went to see what was happening. And rumors had spread that there is fire in the desert. So people said, how can there be fire in the desert? And so people went and groups were going to see. And they saw, mashallah, the Muslim army, 10,000 of them. And it was night and there was fire burning. This scene had actually instilled fear in their hearts. And they were not in the mood to pick up arms and to fight the Muslims. And subhanallah, it was a very easy entry for the Muslimin to enter the city of Makkatul Mukarrama. Talking about Abu Sufyan, what an intelligent man he was. Abu Sufyan, looking at the situation, and remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened his heart. Even before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the city of Makkah, he himself went to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the private tent of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companion said that the leader of the Quraysh, Abu Sufyan, is here. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell Abu Sufyan to come. Abu Sufyan came, and in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahu Akbar. And he embraced Islam with sincerity. With sincerity. Imagine the man, all his life, fought the Muslimin. All his life. All the wealth of Abu Sufyan was against the Muslims. But just before the eve of Fath Makkah, this man comes and he surrenders and he says, I want to become a Muslim. Abu Sufyan, remember, is the father of Hazrat Amir-e-Muawiyah. It is farz upon every Muslim to have deep love for Amir-e-Muawiyah. Radiallahu ta'ala. Remember, extremely important. You'll find that a lot of people don't show that love to Hazrat Amir-e-Muawiyah, which is wrong. He is a Sahabi. Just because the son of Amir-e-Muawiyah was Yazid, just because his son was Yazid, that does not mean that there is something wrong with Hazrat Amir-e-Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Amir-e-Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala is someone who was very close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the brother-in-law. And so, mashallah, Umm Habiba is the sister. So all of them were related, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a lot of dua for Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. This man came and he embraced Islam, Abu Sufyan. Ulama have mentioned, and I have also mentioned this in the month of Ramadan, how and why Abu Sufyan was given hidayat. Subhanallah. It is said that Abu Jahl had slapped Hazrat Fatima. Do you recall that? Abu Jahl slapped Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she went to Abu Sufyan and said, Abu Sufyan, a noble man like you is still alive, and yet the young daughters in the city of Makkah have no safety. So he said, what do you mean? And he said, don't you know? Abu Jahl has slapped me without a reason. And Abu Sufyan got so angry. They have slapped you? You are from the family of Abdul Muttalib? And he stood up. And he was holding the hands of Bibi Fatima. She was young at that time. And said, come with me. And he took Bibi Fatima to Abu Jahl and said to Abu Jahl, "You slapped Fatima?" And he said, "Yes." So he said to Bibi Fatima, "I want you to slap him like how he slapped you. I want you to slap him like how he..." And Bibi Fatima, subhanAllah, one tight slap on the face. One tight slap on the face. She came back and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of this. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What Abu Sufyan did was good. What Abu Sufyan did was good. And the good should be repaid with good. The ihsan of Abu Sufyan is on me, that he gave the right to my daughter." And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hands and said, "Ya Allah, put iman in the heart of Abu Sufyan." And that is why he did not die in the battle of Badr, in the battle of Uhud, the many other battles that were there. And you had, subhanallah, other individuals who also came to Makkah. And there was a fight between the people of Makkah and Medina, the Qurayshi and the Muslimin that had stayed in Madinatul Munawwara. So many people were assassinated, ambushed. But everything with Abu Sufyan, he was protected. Nothing happened to him. Why? Allah had destined for him iman. And this was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he becomes a Muslim. Even before Muslims enter Makkah, the leader of the Quraysh has already embraced Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Makkah from the main gate. And then the different contingents of the Muslimin enter from the different gates of the Haram. And the meeting place was the Haram, the location where the sanctuary, the Kaaba is, where the Mataf is, that is where all of them would meet. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered all the mushrikeen that were there, Muslims and non-Muslims. And how humble was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, completely kneeling down as if someone is in ruku, Allahu Akbar, in this manner, and praising Allah. And he said, "This victory only comes from Allah. This victory only comes from Allah. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." And the first action of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the bravery and the courage of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. My respected brothers, a Nabi will target the root disease of kufr. That is the difference between a Nabi and the common man. The common man will think of diplomacy, this, that, this, that, this, that. A Nabi only fears Allah. And the Nabi will target the root cause of that disease which is spreading kufr around the world. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the city of Makkah. The first thing, he had a stick in his hands. And he said, "Open the doors of the Kaaba." And he said, "Gather all the mushrikeen." All the mushrikeen should be there. All the kuffar were there. More than 300 idols were in the Kaaba, stored in the Kaaba. And the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would just point at the idol and the idol would fall in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it would fall on the ground face first and it would be smashed into pieces. Smashed into pieces, every idol. Allah's Nabi would do this, fall down, smash into pieces. Every idol, more than 300. And he wanted to show this to the mushrikeen, that these are the gods that you worship, completely lifeless, spiritless. They don't listen, deaf, dumb, they don't speak. And these are your gods. And in a way, this had actually opened up the hearts of the mushrikeen. It is said that there was one idol which was known as Hubul. What was the name of it? Hubul. Kya naam hai? Hubul. Bulbul nahi. Hubul. Hubul was the god of war. What was he? The god of war. And this Hubul idol was put towards the cavity of the wall, right on the top, where the ceiling is. And even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not reach it. And so remember, we're talking about the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and the contributions of Hazrat Ali. Let's look at that. The banner of Islam was given to Hazrat Ali when the Muslim army entered the city of Makkah. That one of the banner was given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Ali was also holding the janda, the banner. And then there was Hubul that was hiding up. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we're not going to miss this man, this idol. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali, Ali, come and climb on top of me. Get on top of me and I want you to bring that Hubul down. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, I can't do that. For me to ascend on you and to climb on you and to do this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ali, I want you to do this. Ya Rasulullah, I can't do this. This is bad disrespect. And only when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted, you have to do it. With great respect, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala got onto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he pushed Hubul down from the top and Hubul came down, smashed into pieces, smashed into many pieces. Hubul, the word of God, also was smashed. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillah, now the Kaaba has been completely purified. The fatha, the conquering of the Muslimin for on that day actually marks the complete annihilation of idolatry from the Arabian Peninsula. From that day when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the city of Makkah until today, Alhamdulillah, the Arabian Peninsula is completely free from shirk. Shirk in that sense that somebody would worship an idol. So much so, Wallahu alam, Allah knows best, that I have heard that there is not even a church in Saudi Arabia. Is that true, Idris? Would you know that? Wallahu alam. That they say that it is not allowed. And there was some controversy for that. But khair, as far as idol worshipping is concerned, from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until today, that entire zone is completely free. And as I said, that Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, what do they target? They target the root cause. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, what did he do? The root cause. He fought the people, he showed them, and he went directly to their gods. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam did. And this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done. And when Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will come, what will he do? وَيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبُ. What he will do is that he will break all the crosses. So the cross, the crucifix that you see on East Park Road, is it nothing to you all that you pass by and feel the sorrow of the sorrow or whatever? Wallahu alam, Allahu alam, Allahu alam, Allahu akbar, Allah knows best. This is all shirk. And this is how they speak and they put their posters. And there's one also just across where I live on Coleman Road, there's a church there. And this is what they do. Aliyazu billah, they put the statue of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And this is a symbol of shirk. That is why in the beginning the ulama were of this opinion that you could not wear a tie. In the beginning. And also a lot of the youth, when they put on the England t-shirt, you will notice that there is also a cross there. There is also a cross. So you have to be very careful. Whatever you wear should not be something which is symbolic to any kind of their religion, which is non-Islamic, or anything that is attached to kufr. So you have to be careful. If there's any symbols of shirk, it would be haram. And so Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, وَيَكْسِرُ السَّلِيبُ, the first thing he will do, will break all the crosses. Subhanallah al-Azim. So Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, that is what they do. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter called a few of the companions and said that around the city of Makkah, where the Bedouins are, and in the tribal villages, there are also some temples, and in the temples you had huge idols that were stored. And this duty was given to some of the companions to go and break the idols. Completely break the idols. Why now? The complete control was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said that Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was given this mission to go to the tribe of Banu Jazima. These were strong people. And for strong men, you need a strong Sahabi. And for Banu Jazima, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was selected. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid knew their attitude. So Khalid bin Walid was a bit hot-tempered. Of course, he was also related to... He comes from the family of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Amir Muawiyah and that clan. So Khalid bin Walid, when he came, there was a man who wanted to stop Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, and he could not even speak. So Hazrat Khalid bin Walid got angry and killed him on the spot. Killed him on the spot. And then there was a lot of problem, a lot of issue. Khair, the Banu Jazima eventually had embraced Islam. But what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did is that Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Khalid bin Walid that perhaps this was not the right strategy. This was not the right strategy. But on behalf of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave blood money to the people of Banu Jazima and said that, are you happy with this? And they were happy with that. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had stayed with the people of Banu Jazima for a few months, teaching them about Iman and Islam, and teaching them how to perform Salah. This again was a great contribution that comes from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will continue with the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an in the next session of Dars Hadith. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ta'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.